Ready? Okay. Good morning. This is a meeting of the State Title Setting Board. Today is November 15th. It's 10 o'clock a.m. We have a number of items on the agenda today, and we're going to start with rehearings and then move to new items. With me today on the title board, to my left is Jason Gallander from Office of Legislative Legal Services. To my right is Melanie Snyder from the Attorney General's Office, our legal counsel, Leanne Morrill, and I'm Suzanne Steyer. I'm the Deputy Secretary of State. To my far left, the most important person in the room is Steve Ward, who runs these meetings. So as I stated, we're here on a number of items. The first item on the agenda is number 60, the repeal of provisions concerning large capacity ammunition magazines. If we can start out, if both proponents could come up and just identify yourselves so that we know you're here for the record.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Kevin Klingsheim. I'm a resident here in Colorado, and this is my girlfriend,
Jaslyn Ford.
Have you all had a chance to look at the motion for the rehearing?
It's the same content as last time, right?
Well, it's a motion for rehearing. It was the one filed by Mr. Gruskin. Did you get a chance to look at that?
I got a glance at it.
Looks like this.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. That's kind of what we'll be working on off of, because it's his motion and he's on the phone. So just you can either stay there if you want to comment on it, or if you want to just have a seat, I'll call you back up after we chat with him about. Okay. All right. So, Mr. Gruskin, this is your motion for rehearing. Obviously, we've all received it. Is there anything you want to highlight in it?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I apologize for not being able to be there today. I think the motion is fairly self-explanatory. As I indicated, just as a matter of establishing the record, it's filed on behalf of William D. Hoover. There was a typographical error in our notice, which we corrected the same day of the filing. But I believe that the arguments are self-evident. Our belief is that the single subject statement actually misstates the purpose of this measure and therefore needs to be corrected, because it doesn't concern regulation. It eliminates the regulation, and the board has, when it's appropriate, used a more active verb rather than a term like concerning, just to generally assess the substance of the measure. And secondly, we believe that there are provisions within the title that are not that do not reflect the measure itself, including the fact that the title refers only to repeal of a misdemeanor rather than the felony crimes that are also repealed. Secondly, that the title fails to establish that, in fact, there are criminal laws being repealed rather than just mere prohibition, civil or administrative or otherwise. The fact that ammunition magazines isn't really a term that is going to be generally appreciated by most voters, and I think you can use it, but with clarifying terms relating to the discharge of a firearm. And finally, we think that the title's inclusion of language that addresses the specific exceptions that exist under current statute is not necessary, because that's lawful behavior under current law, and that will be lawful behavior under a repeal of the statutes referenced. So we would ask that the board use the language that we have proposed on the last page of our motion, because we think that will adequately describe what this measure actually does.
Steve, is there some reason we don't have the other screen up?
I'm working on Jason's draft right now, so I'm just going to type it up and then I'll turn the other screen on.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry, Mr. Gruskin.
No problem.
Go ahead.
No, I think that's a thumbnail sketch of what we said with greater length and specificity in our motion, and would ask the board to act upon the motion and adopt the title that is included on page 6 of the motion for rehearing.
Okay. Do the proponents have any response to Mr. Gruskin's motion that he filed or what he said?
I think Mr. Gruskin was right if he's pertaining to making the grammar better. If he's trying to make it easier and more better, then I approve of that.
Well, he's trying to make it easier and more better for his petitioners. So, I mean, if you have any comment on the language that he's proposed.
I agree with him.
All right. Any questions for either the proponents or for Mr. Gerstein?
No, I don't have questions. Whenever the time is right, I do have comments.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Okay. You know, looking at the motion for rehearing, I do think that it's pretty well put together for the most part. I think that especially in terms of the use of the word regulation, which we had done before, you know, usually isn't so much for laws as much as for rules in part. And I do think we didn't do a very good job of reflecting, you know, the criminal nature of these penalties and the fact of repeal. So what I'm proposing, and we've got on the board, is essentially Mr. Gruskin's changes with some minor modifications of my own.
Okay. So Mr. Gruskin, since you're not here, I'm just going to read it to you because it's pretty short.
Okay. That's great. The way
that Mr. Gallander has it proposed, it would say a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning large capacity ammunition magazines used in the discharge of firearms, and in connection therewith, repealing statutes that make it a felony to possess such magazines during the commission of a felony or crime of violence, make it a misdemeanor to sell, possess, or transfer such magazines, and require the labeling of any such magazine manufactured or assembled in Colorado. So basically, we took out the regulation. The new language is used in the discharge of firearms. We added make it a felony to possess, struck, subject to specified exceptions, prohibit sale, possession, or transfer, and then added during the commission of a felony or crime of violence, make it a misdemeanor to sell, possess, or transfer such magazines. So I don't know if you can follow that, but I think it tracks pretty well with your motion.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair, and I was able to track that. I think the only thing that it doesn't do adequately is indicate in the single subject statement of the ballot title exactly the purpose of this measure, because it's it doesn't really, in the most negative way, it doesn't really concern large capacity ammunition magazines so much as it does exactly what we've said. And if regulation is the wrong term, you know, I think that, you know, eliminating criminal penalties for either use or possession, you know, certain uses or possessions of large capacity ammunition magazines would more accurately reflect a single subject statement that would bear in a relationship to the repeal measure. But other than that, the changes seem to be to track fairly well and communicate in a slightly different but I think equally effective way for voters exactly what this measure does.
So under your proposal, it would be something like a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning criminal penalties, or?
I'm not sure. I think concerning is probably the hang-up, and if you need concerning, concerning is just such a problematic term when you're dealing with a repeal measure, right? I mean, it's because what this does is it actively eliminates any sort of criminal penalties for ammunition magazine, you know, usage or possession. And so we would think that the more active nature is appropriate for a repeal measure, which it may or may not be for a measure that institutes new requirements, because that really is the focus. I mean, this may be one of the most direct initiatives I've ever seen written, and all it does is repeal that part in the criminal statutes, and we think that the more active language is a better approach for purposes of conveying to voters and petition signers exactly what this is about.
Any comment, Jason?
Yes, I think the point is pretty well taken. That said, we have a sort of long history of having the single subject, you know, with the concerning, give a clear notice that this is what we're talking about, and then have the purpose largely in the trailer. You know, this is the subject, and this is what we're doing with regards to that subject after the comma. I think the concerning makes it really clear, you know, what the subject is, and does a better job of separating out sort of the topic from the purpose and the actions. I would prefer to keep it as is.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point, but I mean, if we didn't have a trailer and it was a, you know, simple enough thing, maybe we could just say eliminating. But I think that whenever we have a trailer, we're stating the single subject as what it is concerning. So I don't know to what extent I think we have to use something a little more active.
And I understand the viewpoint that's being expressed. And I think we have an honest difference of opinion here.
Yeah.
That's all.
Anything?
No, I think that you know, both of the points are well taken. I don't know that, since I can understand the concern with concerning, because if it's not doing anything other than repealing, then I can see that you would just maybe jump to repealing. So what if you said a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes, repealing statutes that make it a felony to possess large capacity ammunition magazines used in the discharge of firearms, and just took out concerning?
I think the difficulty with that is, you know, the single subject has to encompass everything, and the felony piece is just one piece of it, which is why we've had to put it in the trailer. That's the challenge.
Either proponents or Mr. Gruskin want to make a last.
I have no other comment, Madam Chair. Thank you, though.
Okay. If I present anyone in the petition with it and they don't understand it, I'll just explain it to them.
Well, it doesn't really work that way.
Yeah.
It has to notify them. We can't rely on somebody to. Yeah.
Understood.
You know, I'll go back to what we've done at times, and I think it was when Mr. Domenico sat on the board, especially the idea of the single subject is just sort of a very brief notice. Here's what it's generally about, and it's about these large capacity ammunition magazines. You know, we've added the bit of detail, clarifying detail, you know, using the discharge of firearms. We could, if we really wanted to go with common language, we could probably say guns, but, you know, that depends. And then I think the trailer sort of very clearly gives the details of exactly what it's then doing. So I'm, you know, going to sort of stand by it as is, unless outvoted.
No, I'm fine with it if you want to make a motion.
Yes. I would move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2017. I'm sorry, that we grant the motion for rehearing to the extent we've changed the language of the title, and set the title for proposed initiative 2017-18 number 60 as it's been amended and now appears on the screen.
I'll second it. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right. That brings that matter to a close. And the next item on the agenda is state income tax 2017-2018 number 62. If the proponents could come forward. You could just identify yourselves for the record and
This is Mike Spalding, co-proponent.
Marty Nielsen, co-proponent.
And why don't we just start out with you all telling us what you think the single subject of your initiative is and what you changed from last time, just to sort of get things rolling.
All right, so we spent some time working on it and looked at what the most important thing is to accomplish. We removed like 60 words and lots of ideas. But I think we got a single subject now because we're just looking at changing the form to four lines, and the initiative specifies what goes on each line and the enforcement. So the single subject is to change the income tax form to these four lines. And then, you know, of course, you have to specify how we're changing it.
Any questions on, were you here on this one last time, Jason?
I was.
You was, okay. Any questions for the proponents? All right, on the single subject, any discussion?
Yes, okay. I think I have quite a bit of discussion because I'm very much on the fence on this one, and I'm tentatively leaning towards finding that they've removed enough from the previous submittal that this does have a single subject. And I think I just want to put on the record why I think that. There's probably everything in here pertains to state income tax, and although the new credit is calculated based on sort of a variety of other revenues, it's still an income tax calculation. One of the things I'm concerned about, I think there are cases, and the ones I'm thinking of are the ones where the Supreme Court said there was there were multiple subjects where a measure enacted local tax cuts and then required the state to backfill those tax cuts. And what the single subject found was that they thought it was surreptitious and a voter would not expect that the state would have to essentially cut spending for a lot of other programs due to the need to pay the backfill obligation. One of the things that concerns me about this measure is the fiscal impact appears to be dramatic, to say the least, in that based on how this new credit is calculated, appears that total state income tax collections and income tax as a tax is expected to generate revenue would actually go negative, in that people would be refunded more money than the tax would be paid, which would of course have the same effect of dramatically reducing state spending. But the difference between this is I think that's pretty, not exactly, maybe clear on the face of the measure. It's not hidden like it was in this context of a local backfill and something unrelated. I think that voters voting for this have a pretty good amount of notice that they're likely to be dramatically affecting state revenue. I do think we need to reflect that in the title. I'm not sure whether it needs to be a single subject or part of the trailer, but I tentatively am leaning towards finding it a single subject for that reason, but I'm certainly willing to hear arguments that the expected dramatic effect on state revenue and the ability of the state to fund other programs, even if somewhat directly connected to the measure, is sufficiently surprising as to preclude us from setting a title.
I can say something to the dramatic impact.
Sure, go ahead.
The calculations are difficult, it's true, as far as what the total impact is. And in fact, our final thing is indeterminate. But we did go through and do a calculation based on the information available, and we came up to a reduction of between $500 and $800 per taxpayer, and that would be resident taxpayers only. people, corporations, LLCs, people who live outside the state part-time, people just own property, et cetera. No, none of those will be affected by this. This is only for full-time residents of Colorado who are paying taxes, and adults at that. So the impact, I think one of the reasons it came out so high is they're including a lot of federal revenue in their calculation, even though they tried to take that out. We talked to somebody over at LCS who was working on that, and they just had a really difficult time of separating what was coming from federal and what was coming from whatever. So we're showing about $1 billion from the REFC continuation, about $180 million from the vehicle, about $19 million from the cigarette tax. And then the hard one is the enterprises. And the enterprises, if you bring those back into state revenues instead of having them separate, then there's no impact. Nothing needs to be refunded at all. So as was mentioned in the fiscal note, you can make a small statutory changes and get around that. But calculating that amount is the problematic part, because a lot of that is federal funds that those enterprises are running on. And so to add it up and say that nobody's paying income tax and all this stuff is really, I think, a long ways from what the actual fiscal impact is.
Yeah, I would point out that I think when we set titles, we don't get to really consider intervening subsequent actions by the General Assembly, for example, to reduce the enterprise, to which, you know, might have other impacts, but we're not too much here to address impacts, except to the extent that we may think that they're unexpected and confusing to voters, and that someone voting on this would not know what they were doing. So I don't think we can say that, well, this might be a lot less than we think it's going to be because the state might do something about the enterprise issue or take any number of other actions. I mean, the real question for me is, I feel like under the, even though it's somewhat of an umbrella term and somewhat broad, under state income tax, we can probably find that the purpose of this measure is to do things that are probably necessarily and properly connected. My issue, or potential issue, is really almost as simple as, if this tax indeed goes negative, is that something that a reasonable voter could possibly anticipate happening?
And would that be something to put in the title if we feel that's actually a possibility?
Maybe. I think we'll figure out the jurisdiction and then go to the title. And I'm curious what the other board members think.
So you don't have a problem with some of the other stuff in here about the, I mean, you're mostly concerned with the way the rate is laid out.
I think
not. Not with civil audits and income tax refunds being paid and late payment.
Yeah, I think those are, in this context, close enough to be sort of like conforming amendments to the central purpose that were okay. I did look at some of the cases dealing with, you know, judicial reform and things like that, and it seemed like in the cases where single subject wasn't found there, things were more unrelated than in this kind of circumstance.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess my initial reaction is there has to be a way to do it. I mean, something as simple as reducing the rate. So there has to be a way to describe it. I mean, otherwise, how would you parse this out, I guess, is the question. I mean, sometimes when we look at single subject, you would have to do these in multiple rounds to get there. I don't know how you would do something like this in a multiple round.
Yeah, I'm not I don't know that I'm sure what the question is. I mean, I think I would start, as we did with the last initiative, with something like a broad single subject, just saying concerning state income tax.
Right.
I mean, it's one tax. It's not like concerning revenue. So I think
it's
a term that's narrow enough to be used as a single subject. And then probably with the trailer, I think the most important thing about here, and I think the, you know, notwithstanding the claims of simplification, which is also a purpose, I think the biggest purpose here is probably to reduce state revenue and say something like in connection therewith, reducing state revenue by doing two things, essentially, lowering the income tax rate, and describe that, and...
Just kind of free-willing here.
Okay. Sorry, this is, as am I, so I just don't want you typing it in, anything that's not going anywhere. You know, and then explaining the credit, essentially how it's explained in the measure, because I think the actual effects are a bit too speculative to try to parse out and figure out, especially when they've put in the little provision that says you don't have to claim it, you just can claim it.
Right.
Which makes things a little trickier if there are, you know, folks who want to uphold state spending and say, no, I'm not going to take my credit. So after that, then I think we go to simplification, which is also a major purpose, and then a little bit about some of the, you know, sort of implementing details.
Right.
So that would be the general framework I'd use.
Okay.
But I do think, you know, where it's still a very close call on single subject, so if you guys think it isn't one, we should probably get there first.
Yeah. I mean, I think they removed the things that I pointed out I was most concerned about last time, so I'm probably on board with you. I mean, if somebody files a motion for rehearing, then we'll hear why it's not in greater detail and can consider it then. You have any?
I think with the some of the deletions, I think that's helpful. I'm also a little bit on the fence about the tax credit issue. I'm not, it's not clear to me that that's still within the subject, since you're creating a new tax credit.
Okay.
Well, you wanna?
Sure. I move that we find that proposed initiative 2718 number 62 has a single subject and the board has jurisdiction to set a title.
I'll second it, and then all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
I'll say aye.
Okay. So we will proceed to title setting.
I'm sorry, was that a 2-1 vote?
Yes.
I think so.
I said aye. Sorry.
Oh, okay. So we'll proceed to title setting, and do the proponents have any comment on the proposed title?
The title by staff, I know that they've spent a lot of time on it because, I can see some of the things that they've done in trying to capture this. The problem is there's a lot that's included that's not really relevant to what the voter would want to know to vote on this. And also some of this is like commentary that's more opposing the initiative within the title setting. So they spend some time defending Ref C. They say this is a voter-approved excess state revenue retained. I mean, why is it necessary to say how this law got put in, whether it was legislative vote or whatever? They say in accordance with provisions of, you know, the current law. So they're emphasizing existing law to say that this is legal. Here it is. They have a phrase where it says containing specific information in each line. Well, what else are you going to have in each line? You know, blank lines? I don't know. So there's a lot of parts in there that make this difficult. Also, no voter is going to do the math to calculate all this, registration fees minus $10 per vehicle and all that kind of stuff. But they have all that detailed math in there. Math does scare voters. And then even the part that is, you know, one of the things that we emphasize the most, that it is a four-line form and thus very simple, easy for the voters to deal with, you know, something that they can handle, that gets buried down between line 10 and 11 as opposed to being the first thing. which is what it is. And traditionally, the title, or oftentimes, it follows the initiative as far as the order of the things in the initiative. And in this case, you know, they just swapped them all around. So it even at the very beginning threatens a single subject by saying it concerns state revenues, which, of course, you know, Supreme Court has ruled that revenues is not a single subject. So this looks like maybe we want to start with something simpler and then add what's necessary instead of trying to untangle all the verbiage in here that seems more set to, you know, sink this initiative than to actually explain it.
Well, I think you're, I guess I'll make a few comments. I mean, some of it, I think that maybe is not central to the measure. I don't find any of it to be, you know, trying to persuade voters one way or another. Math is math. It's a fact. It's not a persuasive argument. Right. Simplifying forms, I mean, to put that up front, sort of goes against your argument, your single subject argument, quite frankly, because you're saying this is really all about simplifying. Well, the major effect here is the tax rate. And so whether or not the forms are simplified, it sounds like that's what you're going to try to sell the measure on. But if we said something about simplifying, I mean, it sounds surreptitious to me, quite frankly, that a voter might say, hey, four lines, that's great. I want to do that, and then not understand what they're doing to state revenues because they got hung up on this four lines. And that's the whole point of single subject. You can't use one thing to try to drag in voters on another topic that you bury. And so, you know, I looked at the four lines as more implementation to the extent that the four lines are there to try to entice voters to vote for something else. That's a problem. So, you know, some of the things you've referenced, they may get removed, but I don't think, I mean, certainly not for me. It's not because I find them to be, you know, in any way misleading or trying to tell voters to vote one way or the other. Anyway.
I do, and unfortunately, I haven't given it to Steve yet. I do have a somewhat shorter draft based on the staff draft. If it's okay, what I would suggest we do is maybe let Steve type that, and I would start with it fresh,
sure,
actually, and take a break for about 3 minutes while he does that.
Okay, that'd be great.
Thank you, Steve. It's right there.
All set.
All right, we're back on the record, and we have up kind of a new what Jason's proposed in terms of initiative language, which puts the current rate up, but as the first line in the trailer. But have you all had a chance to read that from the proponent side? Do you want to comment on this one? Because I think we're going to work off this one.
Okay. Well, thanks, Jason. Looks good.
Here we go. Thanks. It looks good. I like a lot about the way it is. It's good. We got rid of a lot of unnecessary text. There's a couple of things. One is, I'm wondering if we need, see, state tobacco settlement revenue, that's good. It's clear what it is. But then the vehicle registration fees, it says state registration fees per vehicle. You just say vehicle registration fees. Maybe you don't have to say over $10 per vehicle. I mean, do we need all the details, or we can just say refunding vehicle registration fees? The non-federal revenue to state enterprises started after 2000, that's fine. I mean, it's fairly specific, but if we need to do that, we should. And then all excess state revenue retained as authorized by state voters in 2005. They actually authorized that for 5 years. So the stuff that's been retained since then, I'm seeing some disagreement, but as far as I understand it. So I'm not sure if that's accurate. And there's some other things, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, ahead, Jason.
Yeah, just briefly on the referendum C, the 2005 voter approval issue. What they authorized was a keep all revenue for a 5 year period, but then set the state base for a higher fiscal year spending limit based on the highest year in that 5 years.
That's
so
correct.
Basically, we've been keeping pursuant to that authorization some excess revenue that we wouldn't have otherwise been able to keep ever since, but that has in fact been authorized. So I just wanted to make that clear for the record.
Okay, yeah, that's a way to look at it. And then the main other thing is in the bottom third of it, from line 8 on, it takes our paragraph 3 and basically replicates it. And you know, we're making some statements on how we want the state to enforce this, but is it necessary to have every detail? Increasing the state's burden of proof. I don't know if that's, you know, a technicality that a voter is going to care about. I don't know. It does seem like there's a lot of detail in there. If we sum the whole thing up as increasing the state's responsibility or responsiveness and taxpayer refunds or something like that, we could, you know, not have to put all the details in there. The advantage is that, you know, they'll have presumably read this in the blue book and they'll see the same thing again, but it's almost the entire contents of what the statement that will be in the blue book.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in favor of saying, you know, increasing the state's responsiveness. And who would vote no on that? I mean, it's sort of a...
It's true. You do want to say what
they're doing. It's a loaded word.
It sounds, yeah, just good. Okay.
I mean, people may disagree with some of these other things, but I don't think anybody's going to disagree if you put it in terms like that. I'm not sure. I think I agree that the civil audit and the jury trial, maybe we could put those two together somehow.
Oh,
you know, with the state's burden of proof. I'm not sure that that's central.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there's probably an argument that the penalty for underpayment interest rate, you know, and taxpayer compensation for overcharge stuff isn't necessarily critical either.
I mean, we could just say specifying procedures or, I mean, something a little more general than spelling out the stuff in from line 8 to 12.
Yeah. And I think the other possibility is, to me, is how important we feel, you know, this is a starting point draft, obviously, even for me, much less the rest of the board. You know, whether we really think that state income tax is the single subject versus, you know, a change, something like a change of the Colorado revised statutes, reducing state revenue through modification of the state income tax system. You know, because that's, I think, a call, sort of a judgment call for the board on just how much notice we need to do in the title. I think the state income tax, you know, based on what we did with the last firearms initiative and plenty of other occasions, gets it done. You know, just here's the subject and then below here's what it does. But whether the what it does with reducing state revenue is so central compared to every other purpose of this that it should be part of the actual single subject, I think, is an open question.
Well, it's going to reduce state income tax revenue. I mean, can we say for certain it's going to reduce state revenue?
Well, I mean, there aren't any, I mean, I think just the rate decrease, I mean, that, you know, the other things maybe are a little more speculative in the sense that people might not theoretically don't have to claim them, although I think the vast majority of people surely will. But the rate reduction is, I think, clearly can have no other effect but a reduction in state revenue. And we know how much state income tax we bring in, and that's a total reduction over time of, not that good enough, but something like an eighth of it or something, which is a lot of money.
Or, if I may, actually, with the increasing property tax, with increasing incomes, with all the other things that increase over the 12 years that's going to take that to implement, if you're just looking at the 4% or 4.63 down to 4%, there actually state revenues will increase during that time, even with the cut in the rate. I agree the rate will go down, but the actual total revenues will go up during that time.
That's a fair point. But I think when we're talking about an initiative, we're talking about, right, a change to the Colorado Revised Statute. So I think what the title has to reflect is the change to what would happen under existing law.
It's no change in law. It's just the
right. That's what I'm saying. But if we didn't do this measure, what we collected in the future with all those variables exogenous to law would increase even more.
True.
Exactly. So in that sense, it's a reduction.
Okay.
It's a reduction in the increase.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they also don't always increase.
Right.
As we learned in 2009.
Yeah. I think that that is important to inform the voters in the single subject.
Okay.
So what'd you have?
I don't have.
Should we just say concerning a reduction in state income tax or a reduction in revenue?
I would say something like, concerning a reduction in state revenue, resulting from modification of the state income tax system. And then I think since we have it up there, we can strike reducing state revenue by on the end of line two and line three. In connection with, and then we can take it from there.
Okay. So back to the trailer stuff at the bottom. I mean, would you be okay with something like specifying the procedures for collection and payment or something like that?
Starting where?
Well, we have line eight where we're simplifying tax returns, requiring the state to file within 1 year, 30 days, just all of that stuff. I mean, is there anything there that you think is so central to the measure that we need to spell it out rather than just saying specifying procedures for?
I defer to Mr. The proponents, but I feel like the simplification is a major purpose, and I think the proponents feel that way, but.
It's true. Simplification is important.
Okay.
You know, the rest, in a sense, it may not be informative just because who knows how. I don't know that the average voter, in fact, I'm not sure I know how much time the state has to file an income tax claim now or how much time they have to pay refunds. The compensation of the penalties, and since they go in both directions, yeah, I think the rest we probably, if you want to, can get away with doing something general.
Okay. Have any comment?
I'm just not sure the language saying that this requiring the state to file income tax claims. The state doesn't really file an income tax claim. You're talking about challenging, either issuing a notice of deficiency or challenging a refund claim. Is that
right? It's a claim on your income.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could change the wording a little bit, but if we include it as part of a general thing, then it's not an issue.
Suzanne, I'm sorry.
I mean, my proposal was to just strike it all together rather than, I mean, and to just say specifying procedures for collection and refund or something like that. Usually we just say specifying procedures for the, and then trail it from there, but. For the collection and refund of. And then that tells people that you can go look at the initiative itself and the blue book. I mean, it's just hard to capture everything.
How do you feel about something like specifying procedures for the
administration?
I would say maybe the administration, and I'm not sure what order, the collection, enforcement and administration of the state income tax system.
Okay.
Okay.
Or actually, that's not very good. Maybe procedures for, just of state income tax, not of the system. We want to accept those changes for now and take a quick look at it?
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
What about his point on line five about all state registration fees? Over, you want to just, what was your language? All vehicle?
Yeah, vehicle registration fees. This says state registration fees for vehicles, which is, I don't know if there are any county registration fees.
So are you adding language or reducing language? Are you just putting in vehicle after state, or is there something else?
No, just say all vehicle registration fees and remove state from there, and then remove the
per vehicle
at the end.
Well, the 10 per vehicle, what this whole trailer is describing, and the reason I've essentially just tracked the measure is because we're trying not to sort of assume the effects or, you know, judge it or make anything else. So we've basically, in this case, the feeling was, you know, if we just set a state income tax credit, it doesn't give any notice of how it's being calculated. And if we try to interpret it too much, I mean, I'm struggling with this whole description of it because I feel like we need to put enough in there to give people an idea that it's sort of a big calculation and it's a lot of thing. And, you know, we always seem to be safer if in a situation like that if we just track the measure's language, which is what I've done.
Yeah. Okay.
And also, if we just said all vehicle registration fees, it's not accurate,
right?
Because the ones under 10 aren't being collected. And there actually are a lot of those, because with any car over 10 years old or older, it's just $3, minus the faster additions.
Okay. I think that makes sense. Marty pointed out that at the last sentence in line 8, specifying the procedures for the collection, do we need the before procedures there?
No.
Okay.
I'll read it. Right now it's a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning a reduction in state revenue resulting from modification of the state income tax system, and in connection therewith, gradually lowering the state income tax rate from 4.63 to 4%, and allowing each adult full year resident taxpayer to claim a state income tax credit of up to an equal share of the sum of all state income tax credits in 2018, plus all state tobacco settlement revenue, all state registration fees over $10 per vehicle, all non-federal revenue to state enterprises started after 2000 without voter approval, and all excess state revenue retained as authorized by state voters in 2005, simplifying state income tax returns and specifying procedures for the collection, enforcement, and administration of state income tax.
So I'm just looking at line 8. So specifying procedures, should we say modifying procedures? So we're not putting all of the procedures in. We're just adjusting some of the existing procedures.
That makes sense.
Do you all have anything else?
Marty mentioned is on line 3, the first word, lowering. Is that the best word, or is reducing the best word? Which one? I don't know if it makes any difference.
I think reducing is probably better, actually. I think I did.
And then for gradually, I hate to be one advocating more words, but do we want to say over 12 years, or is gradually accurate enough?
I mean, I'm fine either way.
Doesn't matter to me. But just.
I mean, otherwise, we shouldn't use the word gradually. We should just say over 12 years.
So I'd say if we want the more detail, and gradually is sort of an interpretation, so maybe we should take it out, even though it's more words, reducing the state income tax rate from 4.63 to 4% over a 12-year period.
Yeah. Well, I think we've gotten rid of just about every interpretive.
All right.
Looks good.
All right, then.
Thank you.
Just go skim it. Okay. I would move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2017-18 number 62 to, as we've modified, as we've gone away from the staff draft and set it and put it up on the screen as it now appears.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
That takes us to proposed initiative 2017-2018 number 70, severance taxes on oil and gas. All right, good morning. If you could just start out by telling us your names.
Andrew J. O'Connor.
Mary Henry.
And why don't you begin by telling us what you believe the single subject of your measure is, and if you want to walk the board through how this is different from last time, feel free to do so in terms of single subject.
Okay. The single subject in this ballot initiative is severance tax on oil and gas. And we had, I think, four, maybe five review and comment hearings with legislative council staff, and I think you'll see on the last page of the initiative there's a letter from Colorado Legislative Council stating that they you know that there's no there's no further comments or review necessary on this. So I think with four of these comment and review hearings, I think that we've done a pretty good job of clarifying what this is about.
Well, I mean, to be clear, review and comment is not an approval process. It's just an opportunity to speak to legislative council about the effects of your initiative. I guess my question was, how have you changed the initiative from the last time it went up to the Supreme Court?
Well, it's been simplified so that the voters would have a better understanding of what this is about. We've changed the structure whereby the revenue generated would go to education and health care. But that's been a lot more whittled down, the language from the last one, so that we feel like the confusion's been taken out of that, if there was any to begin with.
Any questions from the board? No. Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak on single subject? Discussion? You want to go?
Sure. If there isn't discussion, then I would move that we find that proposed initiative 2718 number 70 has a single subject and that the board has jurisdiction to set a title.
And I'll second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. So that moves to the title, and if you've had a chance to review it. Mr. O'Connor, have you reviewed the title, the staff draft?
Yes, I have.
Okay, and do you have any questions or comments about it?
No, I don't.
No? Okay. All right.
Okay.
Do you have changes?
Yeah, unsurprisingly, yes. I do. Do you want me to have Steve just put them in, or do you want me?
Sure, if that's easier.
They're not too major, and I can sort of explain them as we go along.
All
So while he's typing, I can speak to some of it. So the first thing was just on the first part of the trailer, in the staff draft talked about increasing the severance tax rates by 5%, which is technically inaccurate. What it's doing is there's a schedule of rates, I think there's about five of them, and it increases each of those rates by 5 percentage points. So that's the clarification going to rates, because there are multiple ones, and to the percentage points. You know, some of the other little things, like repeating, when we added the word severance before tax, in the next part of the trailer talk about the credit, just because property tax is also mentioned. I think it makes it a little bit clearer. Removed on line 3, oil and gas, since in the single subject it says severance tax on oil and gas. I'm just trying to shorten things. I don't think we need to keep referencing it. This next, what he's typing right now on lines 6 and 7, what's a little tricky here is because it's, the staff draft talked about reducing minimal well production that is exempt from the tax, but it's actually, if I read the statute correctly, an on-off switch, where if a well only produces up to a certain amount, anything from that well isn't taxed, and as soon as they go over it, and it's a daily amount, then everything from the well is taxed. So I've tried to clarify that with new language. The bit that Steve is working on right now, down lines 8 and 9, is shortening things. And the staff draft is arguably more accurate. I think it depends on the, not more accurate, maybe more descriptive, is what the measure says, of course, is that the severance tax revenue, it exempts all of it from Tabor limits, both state and local. And what the staff draft does is describes that, you know, in sort of the most legally accurate way, saying collected and spent, which is good notice to people, that's what's happening, as a voter-approved revenue change. I think we can just say exempting it from limits, and people understand that, but I wanted to flag it because there is definitely some value, I think, in the language as is. I just sort of, in my balancing test, brevity trumped that value, but it's a pretty close call.
Yeah, I agree with that one. I mean, I think it has value for those of us who look for those words, but I think they're not a whole lot of us.
Okay. And then below, this gets sort of tricky, because I think what was trying to be done in the staff draft was to reflect the intent of the measure, which, as I understand the intent, it was to keep the current distributions of severance tax, essentially hold them harmless, while having all new revenue generated by the measure, which comes from three sources: increased rates, the reduction of the exempt well threshold production, and the elimination of the property taxes to the new purposes for kindergarten public school funding and the medical care for people impacted by oil and gas production. But I think the way the math works out, it's a little bit unclear if it sort of works perfectly. So I think just describing what the measure does, which says 22% to each of the existing severance tax funds, or at least to two of them as specified, in equal shares, and then the remainder of all of it to the new purposes, is sort of unquestionably accurate and consistent with the language of the measure. So that's the thinking there.
Yeah.
And if you know, the proponent has any concerns about that, I'm certainly willing to hear them.
Do you have any comment?
I don't.
Do Do you think that accurately describes your measure?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Also, just on the last line, so the legislative declaration for the measure talks about people being impacted in the communities, but the actual substantive part of the measure uses the proximately caused, which is prior related. I think we're safer and better off and use fewer words tracking the proximately caused. I'm not sure, I don't know where your intent is, but I'm not sure if someone would have to necessarily live in one of these communities, if that's the intent, and be harmed in order to receive treatment, or if it could be, you know, someone who lives somewhere else but, you know, works in the industry or something like that.
Yeah, I want to address that point. So I'm a little concerned about proximately because it's got a legal effect. And what I'm worried about is inserting proximately. So if this goes to litigation or litigation is generated by this, which I think it may well be, usually is, I'm worried about the proximately caused part of it because that's, you know, that's a legal standard for negligence. And I don't know if that belongs there in regard to, I just don't understand what the purpose of it inserting proximate.
But it's in your measure.
Yeah.
Do I have that word?
You do. You say all proximate.
Well, I just thought, it seemed like he was adding it just now.
Well, he is, but it's in your measure.
Okay.
It's so, in your language.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm worried about it.
But it's in your.
but I wanted to ask him. He was saying, you feel like it's good because it's more defining and it's more exclusive in that it brings in people that may not necessarily be living in that community. It might include oil and gas workers. Is that what you were saying? I think that's what you were saying.
So the challenge is in section one of your measure, you have language on this topic that says, you know, it's the intent of the additional revenue, and then I'll skip over for a bit. Increased funding for medical care and treatment for people suffering negative health impacts caused by oil and gas production in those communities impacted by oil and gas production.
The answer to the question is yes, it would include oil and gas workers in that. That wouldn't necessarily live in that community, but if they work within that community and live outside that community and they're impacted negatively by health impacts, yes, it includes those workers.
So the difficulty is then, so that's in the legislative declaration, and as we look at legislative declarations, you know, they're used to help interpret a measure and as a guide, but they're not sort of substantively binding law like the rest of the statutory changes are. So then at the very end of your measure, when you talk about the 50% in the Severance Tax Stabilization Trust Fund going for this purpose of treating people,
right
at the end it lists, you know, it says suffering negative health impacts and lists what some of those may be. And then it says all proximately caused by oil and gas production. So
would you recommend taking that those words out? Is that what you're saying?
No, well, we're just
the challenge is, well, we can't recommend at this stage. You know, it's your proposed measure. We can only set a title for it as it is.
Okay.
At this point, so but that's where the proximately came from. It isn't, and we're using it because a lot of times when the court reviews the titles we set, you know, when we use a word that's in a measure, it tends to, you know, it's hard to argue that we're not being accurate because it's in there. So, And I agree with you. I think that proximately, legally, probably is to some extent a limitation on who might be able to be treated and, you know, claim damages from the industry, which is why, because it has that limiting effect and because it's actually in the measure, I think we, and has a legal effect, I think it's important to reflect it in the title as well.
Okay, I agree.
Okay. Do we want to maybe just accept the changes for now and see where we are?
Yeah, let's do that.
Steve, on line two, there's a stray hyphen in revised.
Oh, yeah. Right, I'm going to read it in so that we can go from there. State taxes shall be increased blank annually by a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning the severance tax on oil and gas extracted in the state, and in connection therewith, increasing the severance tax rate by 5 percentage points, eliminating a credit against the severance tax based on property taxes paid by producers, reducing the maximum amount of oil or gas that a severance tax-exempt well may produce without all production from the well becoming taxable, exempting the severance tax revenue and related investment income from state and local government spending limits, requiring 44% of the severance tax revenue to be credited in equal shares to the severance tax trust fund and the local government severance tax fund, and 56% of the severance tax revenue. Oops.
Sorry.
Wow.
Trying to do two things.
Just kidding. 56% of the severance tax revenue to be spent for the purpose of providing all-day kindergarten and public school funding and providing medical care and treatment to people suffering negative health impacts proximately caused by oil and gas production.
And when we get back to that, I have one thing to add that I think I inadvertently omitted. We should probably fill in the blank.
Yeah.
So,
do you have any comment on the fiscal impact statement?
No, I don't.
Okay.
So, what we have to fill in the blank with is the total tax increase. Oh. So, it looks like we have a half year impact for 18-19, so we would need to put in, and I see our fiscal analysts are in the office, want to make sure that the $470.8 million is the correct number for the blank. Looks like they're nodding their heads, so I would move that we insert that number into our blank.
Okay. So it'll be $470,800,000 annually.
Yes. Then the only other thing was, I'd meant to put it on line 10. Yeah, let's see what it occurred. So, and for, to be spent after spent, I'd also do in equal shares, as we did above, because that's what it calls for. And with that, I think we're good to go.
Okay. All right.
I would move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2718 number 70 as we have amended the staff draft and as it now appears on the screen.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. That takes us to, are we taking a break, Stephen, or are we just going?
I scheduled a break for noon, but we can break whenever the board wants to.
Are the proponents?
Both proponents are in the room for the next set of initiatives, so maybe okay. Ready to go.
Oh, okay, you've already done whatever you
yep,
need to
everything's
do.
Set.
Okay. All right, so the next one is proposed initiative 2017-2018, number 67.
And do you all want to go or do you want to break?
I think now is fine.
Okay. All right.
Good morning. My name is Ben Larson from Ireland Stapleton. I'm here this morning on behalf of Kathleen Curry and Bill Hobbs, who are the designated representatives for number 67.
Okay. And do you want to just start out by telling us the single subject of your measure? And then if you want to walk us through some of the changes,
sure,
this would be a great time.
So the single subject of Initiative 67 is state legislative redistricting. And with respect to, I think your question was about changes from a prior initiative related to state legislative redistricting. And the I would just say that certain details have changed, but the overall organization and concept of number 67 is very close to number 48, which is reflected in the similarity of the titles that the staff has set for the staff draft for number 67. If you want me to, I'll walk through just briefly a few of the detail changes. We've changed the appointment process for the 8 major party commissioners. It's not party leadership that designates those 8. It is now legislative leadership. We have required that all applicants, whether they are the major party applicants, whether they are the major party commissioners or the independent commissioners, all must apply, whereas before it was just the 4 independent commissioners that had to apply to sit on the commission. The selection process for the 4 independent commissioners has changed slightly. There is now a process by which legislative leadership gets to strike a certain number of the pool of applicants of 20, but then thereafter there's a random selection by the Secretary of State. There is a provision calling for alternates to be put in place for both the major party and the independent commissioners. And I think one of the final and more substantive changes is that we are now requiring the affirmative vote of 2 independent commissioners for any action that approves or adopts a plan. Whereas before, and this still exists in the current measures, they still require the affirmative vote of 1 independent commissioner to approve any action of the commission. But then additionally, for any act to approve or adopt a plan, you need 2 independent commissioners. So I don't think any of those things impact the single subject questions that we've already addressed on the prior initiatives, nor do I really think that they impact the titles dramatically. So I think that summarizes where we're at with 67, 68, and 69.
Okay. All right. Any questions for the proponents?
No.
Anybody here who wishes to speak on a single subject? Okay. Any discussion on single subject? No? Okay. You want to make a motion?
Sure. I move that we find that proposed initiative 2017-18, number 67, has a single subject and that the title board has jurisdiction to set a title.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Do you want to do the 50% now? We haven't talked about when we would do that in a typical cycle. The 50 or 55.
Oh. Yeah, it's just a motion, you think?
But don't you think if we do it after single subject, we'll be more likely to remember to do
it? Yes, no, that
I agree with that suggestion.
Let's avoid I'm
just trying to set the procedure for going forward.
Madam Chair, would you like me to make that motion?
That would be wonderful. Well, let me ask, do you have any comment on the 50 or 55% in terms of?
I don't. I think that the motion will be that this measure does not simply repeal the constitutional provision under section subsection 3.5, and we agree with that.
I don't think I can make a motion saying what he said. So I move that the title board finds that proposed initiative 2718 number 67, which is an amendment to the Colorado Constitution, does more than merely repeals provisions and therefore requires a 55% majority vote for approval.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. All right. That takes us to the staff draft. And then not sure how much legal effect it has to ask you this, but I'll ask it anyway. Is it your intent to only circulate one of these initiatives?
I don't know that at this point. I honestly don't know.
Okay, because we have an obligation to make sure that there's no confusion, so that if you put multiple, so let's say you change something really minor in an initiative, and we didn't think it was central to the measure, but we can't put the same question up twice. And so if you're going to circulate more than one, we just need to be mindful of that when we draft.
And if I...
Okay. I'm comfortable after talking to my... after talking to Bill, the designated representative, we will only be circulating one on state legislative and one on congressional.
Okay. All right. Okay, then do you have comments on the staff draft?
Yes, just very, very brief and I think very minor. And I've got a red line here.
Thank you.
So I gave you the proposed revisions to all three that are slated for discussion.
Okay.
And if you'd like, I'm happy to just briefly touch base on the two changes that are proposed for number 67. The first change at line 8, to just add or disadvantage. Those two words were in the prior titles for 48 and 50. And we would like to put them back in because we do think there is a distinction between purposely advantaging or purposely disadvantaging. I think one could purposely intend to disadvantage without intending to advantage another. So I think that those two words are important and should go back in. And then the second change is explaining the change that I described, the difference between 67 and 48, one of the differences is that we are now requiring the affirmative vote of at least two commissioners, two of the what we call independent commissioners, but we're using the same language that we used above, two commissioners not affiliated with either of the state's two largest parties to approve or adopt a plan. And we believe that that's an important change that we're making and would like it reflected in the title.
Okay. All right. Any discussion?
Just very briefly, I agree, first on line A, with adding or disadvantage. Also agree with the addition of the required vote of two unaffiliated commissioners down at the bottom. Couple of real minor things I'd kind of wouldn't mind seeing on line 8, where it says prohibiting drawing plans. I'd kind of like to put the word redistricting before plan, and the same right at the end of the new language at the bottom.
That change is fine with us. I think that's a great change. I don't know if the word plan appears elsewhere. I think you caught the first instance of it.
Do you think we could put that into the 8 of 12? Like, could we just say, and requiring the agreement of at least 8 of 12, two of which cannot be affiliated or something? I'm just wondering if we can save some words.
Yeah, we
you've probably toyed I struggled. With that
yeah,
too.
I mean, yeah. I played with this, but we are welcome to suggestions as to how to get that concept at the end, but make it shorter. And,
I mean, we're restating, yeah.
Yeah, we want to make it clear that it's a requirement in addition to requiring 8 of the 12. And so that's what I struggled with, but I'm
well, at least two of the 8, right? 8
yes.
of the 12, at least two of which cannot be affiliated. I mean, could you just set it off with a comma and then...
I think that the difficulty is that we're talking about two different things, is I don't think... In this, you need any unaffiliateds to approve actions that aren't approving a plan. I think that's the challenge.
But 8, so if you require in the agreement of at least 8 to approve any action. I see. Okay. I get it. Yep.
So the only other thing I do just really quickly is I would delete, where is it? And on line 11 after the semicolon, I would just make them separate clauses. And then after commission on line 9, take out the comma, put a semicolon, and then strike additionally.
Okay.
Well, let me rethink that. Yeah, I think we do still need additionally or also there.
Yeah, I mean, the only issue is that they might think that to approve a plan.
Too, right?
Yeah,
I get it.
So that's what I struggled with. And that's why, you know, if it did say just something like comma, including the affirmative vote,
Actually, maybe that additionally worked better after all. I think we'll just go right back to that and I'll stop messing with things.
I mean, I think if it just was, so if we strike the deletion of and, because I think they should be in the same clause, unless you guys disagree, but...
Well, we could just reject that, I guess.
Yeah, I would reject that one and then do a comma instead of the semicolon.
Yeah, so go back to what he had. That's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, and do including requiring.
Well, I think it's – now I think we're back to what you had, and I think it's fine.
Okay.
Get it now.
Right. We basically just went through what I did
yeah
yesterday.
Okay.
All right, so how about I read it and then we can... So it's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning state legislative redistricting and in connection therewith renaming the commission that redraws state legislative boundaries, changing the qualifications and methods of appointments of members of the commission, providing the appointment of 12 commissioners, four of whom are registered with the state's largest political party, four of whom are registered with the state's second largest political party, and four of whom are not registered with either of the state's two largest political parties, requiring the commission to consider political competitiveness to the extent possible after meeting other requirements for redistricting, prohibiting drawing redistricting plans to purposefully advantage or disadvantage any political party or person, specifying procedures that the commission must follow, including requiring the commission's work to be done in public meetings and requiring the commission's nonpartisan staff to prepare and present plans, and requiring the agreement of at least 8 of 12 commissioners to approve any action of the commission, and additionally requiring the affirmative vote of at least 2 commissioners not affiliated with either of the state's 2 largest political parties to approve or adopt a redistricting plan. Oh, 2 largest parties to approve. Yeah. I don't think we need political.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
I just had one question, sorry, and it's because I wasn't sitting on any the board for any of the earlier versions of this initiative. There is the provision, and I defer to the chair's greater knowledge of election law and campaign finance law than I have on this, where anyone who's paid to advocate to the commission is defined as a professional lobbyist. I want to know if that's a significant change or a change at all to existing law and anything that might be thought of as a central feature if that came up.
I'm looking at Troy. I mean, I think it's a change in law. I don't think lobbyists, anybody who lobbies someone other than the General Assembly is not. Yeah, just covered officials. So that's a change.
Right.
I just don't know if it's
know if there was, and yeah. I totally defer to you on that. I just wanted to bring it up if it hadn't been brought up before.
Yeah, my understanding is that the definition is consistent with existing law and doesn't change existing law on that point, or it is consistent with existing law and is therefore a minor detail not critical to the initiative.
Okay.
'Cause you, yeah. But you can currently lobby that group of people without registering, right?
Right.
No?
How if they're not covered officials? I mean,
have them come up.
Yeah, why? Jason wants you to come up.
Well, that's not so much I want. I think
I only brought a Title I.
If we're making a record, I think we should make a record. That's all.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm going to let Mr. Hobbs weigh in on this.
Good morning. Bill Hobbs. I'm one of the designated representatives for number 67. So I think it's correct. This is a change, but I think it's a kind of consistent with the policy behind the existing law that requires professional lobbyists to register. In other words, they register if they are lobbying the General Assembly or the governor right after legislation, so people that are affecting legislation. So this does expand that to lobbying the commission, although what the commission is doing is legislative in character, I would say. So it's a change, but I would argue that it's not a huge change, probably not a central feature of the measure.
Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. I don't think it's central to the voters. Okay. Want to make a motion then?
Sure. I would move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2017-18 number 67 as we have amended the staff draft and as it now appears on the screen.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. That takes us to proposed initiative number 2017-2018 number 68, state legislative redistricting.
Yes, and the single subject of 68 is state legislative redistricting.
Right, and for the record, your proponents are here.
Yes, and proponents Kathleen Curry and Bill Hobbs are here today.
Okay, and we can probably just, let's go ahead and incorporate the comments and discussions from number 67 for the record. And why don't you start out just telling us how this one's different.
The only difference between 67 and 68 is that 67 uses senior judges to appoint the pool of 20 independent, the pool of 20 for the independent commissioners, and number 68 utilizes retired judges, similar to what number 69 does.
Okay. All right. Anybody present who wishes to speak on single subject or anything related to this measure? No. Any discussion or questions by the board on single subject? No. Can make a motion?
I would move that we find the proposed initiative 2017-18 number 68 has a single subject and the board has jurisdiction to set a title.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. You want to do the next 50%? Oh, do you want to comment on the 50%?
The same comment. I'll adopt my comments from 67.
Okay. I move that the title board find that proposed initiative 2017-18 number 68 is a constitutional amendment that does more than only repeal provisions and that therefore a 55% affirmative vote is necessary for its passage.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. That takes us to the title, and we have your changes in front of us, and they're now up on the screen. Do you have any other comments?
Nope.
Okay. Right. And again, incorporating your comments from last time, you only intend to circulate one of these.
Yes, okay. That is correct.
All right.
All right. I'll just note that from my reading of it, the very minor changes from this initiative 267 are not material enough to require a different title, given the proponent's assurance that they're only going to circulate one of them. So I move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2017-18 number 68 as we've amended the staff draft and it now appears on the screen.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. That takes us to proposed initiative 2017-2018 number 69.
Mm-hmm. So the single subject, well, first of all, the designated representatives, Kathleen Curry and Bill Hobbs, are both here today for number 69. And the single subject for initiative number 69 is congressional redistricting.
All right. And do you want to just walk us through what's new from your, I know it's not the same proponents, but from the proposed initiative that was submitted?
The changes are similar to the changes that were made between 48 and 67 and 68. I would say that, again, the organization and concepts are all the same, and therefore the titles are correctly very similar to number 50. And again, it's if you want me to walk through them, I can, or I can just incorporate that discussion.
That's fine.
Okay.
All right. Anyone present who wishes to speak on this initiative? Any questions or discussion from the board on single subject?
We can deal with it later, but
I just typed what was here for 68.
Right. Okay.
So if we want to go back.
Yeah, I think we'll want to do that.
We going backward in a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Well, let's just do this.
We'll do this now, okay. Though.
All right. Single subject. Do you want to make a motion or do you have any discussion?
I do want to discuss briefly. I mean, not really. I just want to put something on the record. I do think that this measure has a single subject. I took a hard look at the Supreme Court's decision finding multiple subjects on something somewhat similar in In Re Ballot Title Submission Clause for 2015-16 number 132. My interpretation of that is because this does not combine legislative reapportionment and congressional redistricting and does not alter the role of a constitutional body, which was the case of the Judicial Nominating Commission in that case, that we do have a single subject for this one. I just wanted to put that on the record. And with that, I would move that we find that proposed initiative 2017-18 number 69 has a single subject and that the board has jurisdiction to set a title.
I'll second it. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, that takes us to the title.
So the proposed red line is in front of you. Two of the changes are the same as changes made to 67 and 68. And I think that Mr. Ward has already inserted those. Then the only other change is just to a clause that was slightly differently worded than the titles for 67 and 68, and we just wanted to make those consistent. That is specifying procedures that the commission must follow instead of developing procedures to be followed by the commission. That's just really technical edit.
I've got a couple of additional minor suggestions. I think as we did in 67, and I'm hoping we'll go back to do for 68, line 9, I think after drawing, I would say redistricting plans. And the same at the very end on line 16. I think, sorry, just one second.
Oh, no. Sorry.
In the title we set for 50, where it says finalization of a plan on line 14, it said finalization and approval. I don't know that that necessarily matters, but I just wanted to note it in case that's an inadvertent omission from the staff draft or anyone cares about that.
We think it's sufficiently captured just by finalization.
Okay.
But don't feel too strongly either way.
Do you mind terribly another redistricting before plan right after that?
No. I forgot about that change that you suggested to 48, excuse me, to 67 and 68.
Okay. The other I've got just a couple of other minor ones, sorry. On It's hard to actually find what I'm looking for. Factors. I think on line 9. Oh, never mind. That's fine. One question I have, this language that says on lines 2 and 3, to perform the responsibility of the state legislature, could I get some clarification from folks who've been following this on what that's about and why it's there? And I'll comment on why I'm concerned about it once I hear from you folks.
I think it was there to make certain that we weren't saying that it was a different body that was going to do it, if I remember the discussion from last time.
Right. And that's my concern. You know, in reading the measure and how it actually amends the statutes, I mean, it seems, unless I've missed something, and that's always possible, that the state that this is replacing the state legislature in doing this, which, you know, I think is a is maybe a constitutional issue, but not something for the title board to be concerned about. And I don't know that to perform the responsibility of the state legislature is really what's happening here. It seems to me that what the measure does, constitutionally or not, is takes it away from the state legislature and sets up this new thing to do it. And regardless of the fact that I don't know that that can override the Constitution, I don't see this as a legislative delegation, since the General Assembly isn't delegating its power. The people are taking it from them by initiative. I think that that language is, in terms of what the measure does, is misleading, because I think there is no responsibility of the state legislature anymore. It's the responsibility of this commission under the measure, if not the Constitution.
I would, I guess, disagree on the point that it's taking it away. We believe that the state legislature can delegate its authority to do certain things. It can do so by statute, and this is a statutory initiative, and the people can do by initiative anything that the General Assembly can do. And so the people are causing the General Assembly to, by statute, to delegate its authority. But I think that ultimately you are correct that that's a constitutional issue. This is the language that we ended up on, this language, because it's the language, I believe, that the initiative uses. And so Ms. Eubanks suggested that we take this language because it models and tracks the language in the initiative. And so, setting aside, you know, the constitutional questions, which aren't an issue before the title board, this is the most accurate and succinct.
Can you point me to where that language? Oh, I'm sorry. Here it is. Okay, never mind. I see it now. Okay, I understand. And that's what happens when you get someone new on the board who hasn't heard the previous discussion in full detail. Well, I guess it is what the measure says.
I mean, I don't think it matters
what the measure does, but
yeah, but I mean, I feel like what you're saying is, if the legislature had chosen to do this, then that would be an accurate statement, because they'd be delegating their authority. But I think that council's correct that people can do by initiative anything that the legislature can do. So the fact that the people are going to be delegating it, I mean, in my mind, it's no different than if the legislature had referred this question to the voter. It's the same legal effect.
Well, I suspect we'll find out one way or another down the road. But regardless, I do agree it's not a title board issue. And now that I've been pointed to the language that's consistent with this language in the measure itself, I withdraw my concern about it.
All right. Anybody have anything else?
I did just note one thing. So we did strike in our proposed revisions to the title Or is it now stricken? Yeah, we struck I got to get new glasses. We struck the provision that is now the second to last clause. Well, no, it's still the last clause, but it's in the middle there. It says, and specifying procedures for the finalization of a redistricting plan. We suggested just to strike that just because it saves words and we don't think it's critical.
Did that, if I'm asked, did that go to the issue of where staff is required to finalize one if the commission can't come to agreement on one that satisfies the court, or do we know why that was there before?
I think that it was there before because, Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, but is there a, I don't recall why it was there and not in 67 and 68. Go ahead.
Bill Hobbs, again, one of the designated representatives for number 69. So I think the proponent's suggestion about deleting the provision about specifying procedures was just because it was a little redundant. Because of about line 10, as it's proposed to be amended, it says specifying procedures the commission must follow. And so it seemed a little redundant to say it again at the end. That's for a particular thing, you have to have procedures for finalization.
Yeah, I agree that. Yeah, I think initially we probably just did it to try to bring in a bunch of procedures we didn't want to spell out, but yeah, it's redundant if we have what we have in line 10, I think.
Okay. Should we adopt the changes as they appear for the moment? And I think consistently with what we did on 67, 68, on line 13, I think we want to make that semicolon a comma at the end of commission.
I'll read it in since it's a new one. It's a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning congressional redistricting and in connection therewith, establishing a Congressional Redistricting Commission to perform the responsibility of the state legislature to redraw congressional boundaries following each federal census, specifying the qualifications and methods of appointment of members of the commission, providing for the appointment of 12 commissioners, four of whom are registered with the state's largest political party, four of whom are registered with the state's second largest political party, and four of whom are not registered with either of the state's two largest political parties. Establishing factors for the commission to use in drawing districts, requiring the commission to consider political competitiveness after all other factors, prohibiting drawing redistricting plans to purposely advantage or disadvantage any political party or person, specifying procedures that the commission must follow, including requiring the commission's work to be done in public meetings, and requiring the commission's nonpartisan staff to prepare and present plans, requiring the agreement of at least 8 of 12 commissioners to approve any action of the commission, and additionally requiring the affirmative vote of at least 2 commissioners not affiliated with either of the state's 2 largest parties to approve or adopt a redistricting plan.
Ready for a motion?
Sure.
All right, I move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2017-18 number 69 as we have amended the staff draft and it now appears on the screen.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. You want to go back to 68? Is that what I'm
yes,
heard?
Please.
Okay.
I think, for the record, I think we just need to reconsider. If we want to make it identical to 67, we just need to add redistricting before plan in a couple of places.
Okay. Let's pull it back up for reconsideration. Do you have any objection?
No.
No. So on line 8, we're going to add redistricting before plans.
Line 14.
And line 14.
I guess there was another one on 11, but we didn't make that change in 67. So unless we want to just stop now.
Yeah, let's just.
Right.
Okay.
This is the lawyer
now
in me.
It's bothering
you. Yeah, it's just bugging me. So because we changed 69 to do it, right? We added redistricting where we'd be adding it in line 11. Okay. So I think for both 67 and 68, we ought to just do it.
All right. So we're going to add redistricting line 8, 11, and 14.
Yeah.
And then we'll go back to 68 in a minute, or the other one, 67.
Yep.
Okay. You want to make a motion?
Sure. Do we have to actually move to reconsider first, technically, or?
Sure. I don't know. We're not. The court says these aren't quasi-judicial, so I think we can.
Okay. In that case, I will just move that we reset the title for Proposed Initiative 2017-18 number 68 as we've modified it from what we set earlier and as it now appears on the screen.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. And let's pull 68 back up. We just needed
line 11.
Yeah. Want to make a motion?
Yes. Well, first, we've added the word redistricting before plans on line 11 of the title we'd previously set for Proposed Initiative 2017-18 number 67. So I move that we reset the title for Proposed Initiative 2017-18 number 67 to reflect that change.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right.
So I have one question for the board before we adjourn, and that is regarding the Supreme Court order that we received earlier this week. I believe the proponents will be able to appear at the next scheduled meeting of the title board, which, if memory serves me correct, is December 6th.
Okay.
So would the board like me to schedule those matters for review on December 6th?
I'm for it.
I will not be able to sit on the 6th, so defer to everybody else.
That's fine with me.
Okay, so I'll notice that on the next meeting notice that goes out.
Okay, great.
Just one
sure.
thing. I distinctly recall adopting my position on the 55% requirement on 68, and we did. That finding did go on the record.
Yes, 68 went on the record.
Yeah, okay.
You incorporated your comments from 67.
Correct, okay.
And we did it again anyways, I think.
We did it on 68. We just didn't do it on 69 because we don't have to.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you for...
I'm going to try. It's going to be a learning curve.
Thank you for entertaining my OCD.
All right. We are adjourned. Oh, sorry.